Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
God, I just love Moab.
Yeah, it was great.
Moab is the city in Utah.
It also stands for Mother of All Bombs, too.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
Like bombs, as in like B-A-L-M bomb? Mm-hmm.
Not like a solve, like a B-O-M-B-S.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget when it was, a few years ago, they like had that bomb that they made. It was like I forget who it was. I think it was the U.S.
Oh.
The mother of all bombs.
And
yeah.
It was called a Moab?
And it was called a Moab.
Because
yeah.
That's the...
Because that's the anagram.
Acronym.
Acrostic. Yeah. But no, Moab is like really, really a great little city. I feel like, yeah, it was used in the Iraqi war.
I see.
In 2017.
There are so many outdoor things to do in Moab, which got me curious about the question, like, what kind of outdoor adventures other than hiking, like, have you experienced, Mike?
Well, I feel like kayaking and canoeing are, like, my big other outdoor activity. That
do
is,
you do
like,
those
not-
a lot?
Whenever I get the chance, I feel like also living at the beach allows for some stand-up paddleboarding, although you can do that kind of wherever. But
yeah.
Those are things that I like to do. I feel like I like things that are water-based sports.
You are a rising Scorpio.
I am
so
a rising
that makes
Scorpio.
Sense.
So
Scorpio
I just
is a water sign.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is totally appropriate for my sort of, like, I have no water signs in my entire birth chart.
Mm.
And so the beach on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, where I grew up,
mm-hmm.
like you can go to the beach and lay out, but like everyone knows you do not get in the water
because
the water's gross. Unless you get in the water on the other side of the Barrier Islands. I mean, it's not like the grossest water, but it's like kind of gross. So nobody really gets in it. As far as outdoor activities go, I mean, yeah, I've been a marathon runner and like that kind of stuff, but like I've always really wanted to do like a ropes course mm-hmm. or zip lining or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really be into that. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet. But Moab made me like want to figure out a way to do those things I never wanted to
explore.
Do. Or I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. There was an off-roading convention
yeah.
in Moab when we were there. There were just Jeeps everywhere.
Yeah.
They had specials for those people all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like definitely a big draw there because that community is a pretty widespread community, as we kind of touched on in the Joshua Tree problem.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. We were in Moab because we were visiting Arches National Park.
And Canyonlands, too.
And in our previous episode, we talked about hiking the Devil's Playground. And today, we are going to talk about hiking up to the Delicate Arch and some other arches around in Arches National Park.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the National Park.
Follow you there.
At the National Park.
Follow you there.
At the National Park.
Follow you
there. I'll follow you there.
So we left our Airbnb because we were walking down to the Moab Brewery. And this was our first night in Moab. And we were walking to the Moab Brewery because...
because we were meeting our hiking mamas.
We
were. Our Canadian hiking mamas.
We met some lovely women when we were hiking out in the Devil's Playground at Arches National Park. They were so wonderful. There were four of them. And we'd met them while on the trail. Mm-hmm. And we decided, we were like, you know what, you guys are a blast, let's get drinks. Actually, they suggested it, but we had talked about it too, because our cell phones didn't work with each other. They all had Canadian cell phones. We had made the plan. We were like, okay, well, we are going to just
meet at the brewery
at six.
Yeah.
And if neither of us are there, then
no harm, no foul. And I think we kind of toyed around with not going. I think it was like, we're tired. And
we were like,
let's just go.
I'm sure that I was the one who said, no, I'm hungry and they're wonderful and I want to go meet them. Let's go.
Right. And Grandpa over here was like, I want to stay in bed.
You were.
Right.
Exactly.
Just
so,
like that.
So I don't think we left even until like 5:45.
Yeah, we did a
and
bad
we
thing.
Ended up there at like 6:20.
Yeah.
Which was late. We were late.
Yeah.
We arrived late, but we walked through Moab, like we saw like the elementary school in Moab, and we saw the high school and the post office and all the, you know, the government buildings.
A lot of homes.
Making our way around to the downtown area, essentially, which is just like one strip. Then we made it to the brewery and we looked around. I mean, there were so many people outside waiting for a table.
Yeah.
And we looked and we didn't see them there. And we were like, well, maybe they didn't come. And then we walked inside and then we saw them and they were at a table for six.
Right.
And the four of them were there. And it was like, oh, look, they got a table for us. And you were sort of a little kind of like still.
I think I was like, oh, are we imposing on them?
Are we imposing on them? And it was like,
no, there's a table
the
of six.
And the southern part of me, which I will say, I think Canadians and the people of the American South are very similar in this way. In that, like, you meet somebody and they're lovely and they're very welcoming. Mm-hmm. I will do it for you.
Great.
I was like, no, they got a table for six and we're the other two.
Yeah.
Let's go. So I was like, hi, everybody. Let's, hi. And so we sit down and you were sort of like, oh my God, are we? And I was like, no, we're sitting here and we're having dinner with them.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, okay, yeah. And I was like, yeah, that is what's happening.
Yeah.
And so I think after like, I don't know, like 5 minutes, you finally owned the fact that like we were sitting there and we were having dinner with them.
Definitely my social and awkwardness there.
I am obsessed with these four ladies. Their names are Joanne, Denise, Sue, and Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to shout out to them because they do follow us on Instagram and they often comment. And we love it when you do because we do love you, hiking mamas.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And so what we learned about these four women is that none of their husbands like to hike, but they all love to hike.
Yeah.
And so they all travel together and they hike and they all go on different trips together. And
they drove all the way down.
They
actually
drove all the way down from where they were in Canada.
I want to say Calgary. Am I wrong about that?
Alberta. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah. We love you, but we forget where you're from.
Exactly. Hiking mamas, remind us where you're from.
Yeah.
They drove down and they were doing a lot of hiking in Utah.
Mm-hmm. They went through Salt Lake City. They got a flat tire. They told us this entire story.
That's
right. They had like the nicest experience with someone coming to like fix their tire. And it was very late in the day. And they were hiking through Utah. They were doing Arches. And then I think the next day
And of course, they're Canadian, so they are like the friendliest. Right. It totally makes sense to me now that we ran into them and we were able to have such easy conversation with them. And on top of just like being Canadian and like that being part of your culture of being like friendly, welcoming, they were just the loveliest people.
Yeah.
And so sitting there with them, hearing about their lives and hearing about their children and their families was great. And then getting to share that too.
Like,
they asked us a lot of questions about us. And I just loved sitting there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, God, I want to travel with them more.
Yeah.
So hiking mamas, we adore you.
Yeah.
And let us know where you're headed next because we want to join you. So we talked politics for a little bit, but really the only reason was because you and I both just thought that Justin Trudeau is like the cutest person, the dreamiest in the world. And one of our hiking mamas, all of them liked him, but one of them was a little...
against him, like legalizing marijuana.
Like, that was
nationwide for Canada.
Yeah, that was her beef with him, which she's totally allowed to have that beef. So we finish our dinner with our hiking mamas. We finish by like literally following each other on Instagram.
Yeah, and they were going to Mesa Verde the next day. So they were going to dipping into Colorado and hiking in Mesa Verde. And we were, you know, continuing our trip through Utah and then eventually Arizona. So after finishing and kind of trundling off into the night, Dusty and I take the 1.5 mile walk back, very tired at this point.
And on the way back, we found this gas station that was still open. And I believe I went in and got a Diet Coke.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And so I got a Diet Coke. We made our way back to our Airbnb, to which we watched more Big Little Lies. Mm-hmm. And then we headed off to sleep. And then the next morning, we got up to set off and hike to Delicate Arch.
So we get up early, and the nice thing about having a separate room that was on its own side of the house is that, not that we were so incredibly loud, but we could be, you know, a little louder without feeling like we were crashing or cramping anybody's style.
Because in the morning, especially when we're together, we have to get up and play all of ABBA Gold and then just dance and sing all of ABBA Gold. So we were able to do that without bothering
with an air
anybody.
Horn and confetti guns.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's really a fun morning with the two of us. So we get up, and I believe I went into the kitchen and kind of like made us like breakfast snacks and things like that. Because I think we may have foregone McDonald's this morning.
Oh, I think we did.
Because we had free breakfast.
We did every morning here in Moab because we had free breakfast. Right. Thank you to our wonderful host.
Yeah.
So we were like, we could have everything we wanted.
So I like kind of like grabbed the things. Like, I feel like I made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for us and grabbed some fruit and things like that.
I ate some cereal. Yeah. I do remember that.
And then we headed off and you were like, well, I'm not driving back up to that mesa. You're going to drive.
I refuse to drive up the mesa. I'll drive down the mesa, but I just felt weird about driving up the mesa.
And that's fair. Our goal was to get up early to get to Delicate Arch because we wanted to get to Delicate Arch like close to sunrise or thereabouts, because we also, again, hike early, hike often. We didn't really want to deal with crowds, and Delicate Arch is probably the most photographed.
It can get very crowded. Yeah. It's the most photographed. And Delicate Arch, when you look at all of the arches in Arches National Park, Delicate Arch is easily identified because one side of it gets really thin right in the middle. One part is like very delicately resting on another part. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets the name Delicate Arch.
Right. It was good that we got there early because the parking lot area was like kind of off the main road of the park road, like when you're up on the mesa. So we were able to turn off that. And I think we were like really one of the first several cars in the parking lot, which I think when we got back to the lot was like bananas.
Yeah. You were very excited to be one of the first.
Yeah. Hi. Listen to this type A Libra over here. It's like my goal to like live that life all the time.
The trailhead was right there at the parking lot. How many miles was it out to Delicate Arch from there?
I can't remember. It was at least 1.5 miles, maybe 2.
I think it was, like 2 to 3 or something like that, one way.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we had like some time we were going to be investing in this.
And there were, I believe on the way too, there were some
petroglyphs.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
Petroglyphs, which were fascinating.
Right. Because we saw some more petroglyphs later at
the Petrified Forest.
Yeah. Yeah. You were like, we have to stop and see the petroglyphs. And I love that.
That's my favorite.
I think. I was like, listen, let's get out to Delicate Arch and we'll see them on the way back. I believe we stopped on the way back because I think it was sunnier at that point too.
That's true.
I
really wanted to see them because I'm obsessed with them.
Right.
And I'm obsessed with history and things like that.
And I was like, no, we have a mission. We need to get out to Delicate Arch before the hordes do.
You were right. And it was a good call.
Yeah.
And so what I remember about the beginning of this trail is that it was flat for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like up and down and up and down and up and down. And I remember.
Wait, was it up and down though?
I was so tired and we had gotten up so early.
Right.
And at this moment, I was like, this better not be the hardest hike I've done because I'm not prepared for this. Because
I'm
going
to murder Mike right here at Delicate Arch.
At this point, I just was like, I was really enjoying like sleeping in that weighted blanket back at the Airbnb. And I was like, if we, you know, finish this quick and then end up back at the Airbnb early, I'm not going to complain. We're headed up this trail, which again was up and down. And there were a few people in front of us and behind us.
Yeah.
As we were making our way up, there is this like flat rock, this giant flat rock that you have to get up onto. We get up onto it and we're making our way up because the Karens are leading you just like up
and
into
it's just
this
like
abyss.
A of, like slope. It is just like a diagonal angled slope.
And like you look at the end of it and you're like, that looks impossibly far, but I know I have to go that far. And then when you get to that, when you finally get to the end that you can see,
right,
there is a whole other section that is just as long that right. you also have to walk. Yeah.
But that's where it starts to become like flatter, but it's also a little up flatter. And down.
The thing about that
up and down.
Flat, that flat sloped rock uh-huh. is that like you can jut off to the side if yeah. you want and like just take panoramic photos.
Yeah.
The views from that slanted rock are incredible.
Yeah. I do remember it being so sunny because we definitely didn't get there to the arch itself in time for sunrise. Like we were climbing up this vertical, like, or diagonally vertical rock. The sun was just streaming in our eyes. No matter what the sunglasses and the hats we had on, it was just bright. And I just remember feeling completely blinded by the end of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely blinded.
Yeah.
We're making our way up and we essentially get to a fork. We can either like head off to the right or head off to the left. Heading off to the right keeps you on kind of a flat area, but heading off to the left like sends you uphill a little bit more. And we had headed off to the left because we wanted to see it from this one viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It requires you to sort of wind around. There were some switchbacks right there, but it like you have to wind around the edge of this giant rock face, mm-hmm. which actually in that moment reminded me of sort of like hiking up to the Wicked Witch of the West's castle.
Okay.
Like that's sort of what I would mm-hmm. compare it to. And there were some people headed down when we were headed yeah. up. And I know in that moment you were like, well, we could have been those people. We could have gotten here early and we could have been headed back.
That sounds like me. And you did right. a good intonation of my voice.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah. But I do remember too, like as we're hiking out to the arch, as we got to that point to our left, there was a drop off. It wasn't like a scary drop off. We weren't close to the edge.
Right.
But there was a drop off, but again, vast open country to our
exactly.
left.
Exactly.
And like you could kind of see like a lot of other things, a lot of other rock formations off to the left. Like you're kind of winding around this rock base and we're like, when are we going to get to Delicate Arch? And then all of a sudden you like turn a corner and then
and
smack, there it is.
You're there.
Yeah.
I mean, and we stayed there for like 20 minutes, just like sitting there looking at it.
Yeah.
It was really magnificent. And the lighting was perfect.
Yeah.
Right
and there were then. A lot of people that, there were, I would say like maybe 20 people or so out there when we were there. And we didn't walk up close to the arch. Like you could, and there
you
were people that were
all the
under
way
the,
and then,
underneath the arch.
Yeah.
You had to like kind of like walk a little bit of a precariously like narrow path out that far. And we were kind of like, no, we're good. And we just like
I think
kind
we'd
of observed.
Probably do it now.
Yeah.
But then we were still sort of figuring out what our threshold for that is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we wouldn't have done it then. But I was super satisfied with seeing it from that angle.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We took lots of photos. Seeing Delicate Arch to me was a moment where I went like, this is why we have national parks. For moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
No one built this. This happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to see it and bask in it.
Yeah.
And bask in its like mystery.
Yeah.
That it had been formed over thousands of years. And like, this is what remains.
Yeah. And eventually it'll be gone too. That's the other thing to
remember. And eventually it will be gone.
Yeah.
And it will, we will only know of it because of the photographs that have been taken right. and hopefully preserved.
Right.
But that was a true moment of my own appreciation for the National Park Service and the idea of the national parks. We sat there and we enjoyed it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we decided to head back down.
Yeah. Heading back was so much easier.
So like, much easier. And it took us like half the time.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when we were headed down that slope at points, it was like easy to just like run.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think.
I don't think we did necessarily.
We did run. But we definitely did jog a little bit. Maybe like moving a little bit fast. And then we looked at the petroglyphs.
We did. We stopped and took a look at the petroglyphs. And at this point, there were a lot more people that were headed up.
Oh, yeah.
And the lot was basically full by the time we got back
totally
to it.
Totally full.
But we had also planned to do... There were plenty of other arches in the park that we wanted to see.
So we made a plan. And we knew we were going to go see the double arch and...
Third arch and the nose bridge, which has a north and a south window arch in it.
And that we also wanted to do...
Grand Avenue.
Exactly. And with that, let's take a break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
So in Arches National Park, if you discover an undiscovered arch, you have naming rights to it.
That's right.
That's
I
right.
I actually did a whole Jeopardy category on that last episode.
Right. Called the Diva's Garden. So my question to you is, if you were to find an arch, what would you name your arch? Like an undiscovered arch?
I'm kind of obsessed with my mom's name. My mom's name is Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that name. She has had a long journey with learning to love that name, but I love that name, so I would call it the Gloria Arch.
Gloria Arch.
It is rooted in glory, but mm-hmm. also just basking in the glory of something mm-hmm. is also sort of like what I feel like when I think of that name, and that's sort of the energy I get from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of this, she radiates joy,
mm-hmm.
and so I would call it the Gloria Arch.
Gloria Arch. I love that. That's a really, really nice, yeah, nice name for your
course.
Arch. So many arches are named by their appearance, so I feel like it would really depend on what this arch landmark looked like for me, but I'd imagine that I would find an arch that would maybe have multiple like archways spanning from a central point. So it would almost be like a carousel in that kind of way. So it would either be the Carousel Arch or the Medusa Arch, I feel like.
Oh,
I'm imagining what this arch would look like as well. So I'm putting it
out
there.
Greek mythology.
In my Greek mythology.
I like that.
My Greeky nerdy mythology over here.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Perfect.
I think it's the Medusa Arch.
Yeah, I like that.
In order to get to Delicate Arch, you actually have to like drive off of the main road mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can actually drive to a point and see Delicate Arch from a driving point, or you can drive park
and hike.
And hike. And that is what we did.
I think, too, if we remember, I think we both were a little disappointed to know that when we got there, there were so few hikes within the park. I think like
right, the idea but I did of, like, feel like we made the most of it.
We did. No, I think Devil's Playground and Delicate Arch like gave us what we needed.
Absolutely.
But I also were. I think we were like, oh, so we're just getting out of the car and taking a picture. Like it felt a little cheap in some.
A little bit like that. Yeah. Yes. We get back in the car and we head back out to the main road, which is like, it's kind of like a 15-minute drive to get there. So we get back to the main road and we head left, because had we gone right out of there, we would have ended up back at the Devil's Playground again. So we turn left and we go down, and there were two arches right next door to each other that we wanted to walk out to.
Yeah.
And those were?
So it was the Double Arch, and it was also the Turret Arch. Turret like a turret on a castle wall, T-U-R-R-E-T. But also there was the Nose Bridge, which was right near there as well, which includes what they consider to be a windows. So there's a north window and a south window there.
Right.
And it basically looks like a pair of glasses if you think about it like that.
And they were all walking distance from each other.
Yeah.
Like so they were from like one parking lot. So we park at the parking lot and we head out to Double Arch. And Double Arch is called that because it's two arches that span from the same
central point.
Central point.
Like Medusa Arch.
Just like your Medusa Arch.
And the cool thing about Double Arch, too, is if you have ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the movie actually starts in Indiana Jones's youth, and Double Arch is...
It's there.
Is there. They are... He's part of like a Boy Scout type troop, and they're hiking out in the wilderness, and they are hiking and riding horses
background.
Right near Double Arch, which is pretty cool.
Look at that.
Which is something, after seeing Indiana Jones, after going to Arches, I was like, oh my God, I was there.
There you were.
So it was pretty cool. And Double Arch was really neat. There were, you know, it's
there
not
were
that
a
far
lot
from
of
the parking
like
lot.
Professional photographers there, mm-hmm. like walking through there when we were there, who were, and by professional photographers, I mean like they had like enormous cameras. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, pretending to be professional photographers right. with our iPhones. And well, Mike, you have a camera.
Yeah.
That's like
yeah,
a really yeah. nice camera. But there were a lot of people photograph Double Arch. Like it's one of the most photographed arches in Arches.
And the trail kind of leads you out to Double Arch, but it stops. But that doesn't stop people from then kind of like meandering up and climbing up into the arch, because this is one of those gigantic arches that you can actually like climb underneath and sit in the bowl of. You know, we talked a little bit about like how size differentials were that way on our episode about Devil's Playground, but this was a gigantic arch formation. So
that's right.
There were people that were like way up in there, and I think you were kind of like, I don't need to do that. Like, if you want to go and like walk up that way, you can. And I think I did a little bit, but I didn't join the groups of people that were up inside the arch there.
I would like to add something that Arches National Park has on their maps, which is a caution at the top corner. And it says, caution, stay on trails or slick rock to protect fragile biological soil crust. These tiny organisms are critical to all life in the desert. We talked a little bit about this in the Joshua Tree Problem Trail Mix. I think it is particularly important here in Arches National Park because desert ecosystems are so specific. It could have taken an organism hundreds of years to create its habitat right on the surface of the desert, especially the bacteria that like keeps the desert arid and keeps the water flowing inside of the desert. If you just step on it, like it will ruin hundreds of years of development. So that is why they say to stay on the trails, because the trails are there for us, the visitors. And so that is one way that we can help protect our park.
I do find that a lot of people ignore that, unfortunately.
They do, and yeah. It is very unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
But we had hiked out to Double Arch, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And then from there, you could get to Turret Arch.
Which was basically just across the roadway. And it
literally
really wasn't that far across the roadway by any means. We kind of hike out to Turret Arch. The path leads you out. Turret Arch is on your right, and then Nose Bridge is directly to your left. And it's kind of like a complex of trails there, so you can hike directly up to Turret Arch. There's some stairs that kind of bring you up there. And then you can hike back down and then circle around the Nose Bridge or the north and the south window. At this point, it's maybe like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. The sun is like firmly in the sky, and it's a very starkly contrasting day from the day before. It was a gray day the first day we were in Arches, and this is like a no clouds in the sky,
bright,
day. Sunny, like April day. We're really enjoying the weather. It's also like getting very, very warm at this point. The day before, we definitely were layered a little bit. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, we had like a long sleeve on with shorts while we were hiking. But right. here it was like, okay, it's time for t-shirts because it was like starting to get
totally.
Like high desert warm kind of. So we hike around both of these structures. So we hit Turret Arch and we hike around the nose bridge. And at this point, there's a lot of people that are here. It's not Absolutely. Overwhelming. I actually feel like more people were at Double Arch as opposed to these guys.
And this is actually Double Arch and Turret Arch are close to the entrance. Like they're not
far. Yeah, they're not that far.
And you can technically see Double Arch from the road, like
yeah.
before you turn out to like go to the parking lot for Double Arch. So some people will often just stop and, you know, like that's one of the first ones they take a photo
yeah,
of.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like altogether between the three arches, we spent maybe like a half hour exploring the area, maybe 45 minutes, because we had like a, you know, a hefty agenda on our plate for the rest of the day too.
That we did.
Yeah. So again, we get back in the car and we scoot down the road a little bit.
And we make our way to
Grand Avenue.
And with that, let's take a break. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to Drag Queen Corner, Miss
Kara Beener.
Okay, Kara Beener. Okay, Kara Beener is a pun from the term carabiner, right. which is the name for a clip that you use when you rock climb.
Right.
And it keeps you safe.
And like it keeps you safe, yeah.
Clips you onto either like from one rope to another or clips you to the side of a rock face if there's like a...
If you're lead climbing.
Yep. But yeah, that is what a carabiner is.
Yeah. And it also is like used with your top roping as well because a lot of the times you're carabinered into your top rope.
And who is Miss Kara Beener?
Well, I feel like Kara Beener is... She's sporty. Like I feel... But she's super fun. I feel like...
She's totally super
she's
fun.
She's like a party
I feel like
girl.
There's a little bit of neon going mm-hmm. on with Kara Beener.
Yeah. It's all about yoga pants and like the different brightly colored patterns for those.
100%. Like, mm-hmm. Kara Beener is... I feel like she knows who she is and that she is inspired by outdoors, but like her outdoor references are very specific.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, like she will... She could put together like a full ball gown look.
Yeah.
But then like one tiny little earring would be like in the shape of a carabiner, you know, or something like that. She would have like one tiny little nod to some outdoor gear.
Great. I love
like that. Her outdoor gear references are very specific, small nods versus like covered in, you know, rope.
Right.
You know what
but
I mean?
But I feel like rope is a great accessory for things.
Rope is a great accessory. Right. And like she could have like, for instance, like a beautiful like Alexander McQueen gown, but then her statement necklace is made of rope.
Or it's a chalk bag.
Or it's a chalk bag.
Right.
Or her wig is an updo made of rope.
Right.
That's who I feel carabiner is.
But I also feel like she's good at quick changes. Like, I feel like she can go from, like, daytime, like, fitness class to nighttime elegance, like, with the snap of a
100%.
Finger.
100%. Right? So what is carabiner's iconic lip sync moment? I think it is Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Oh. Little Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye?
Absolutely. I feel like she just lives for that.
Does she sing both parts?
Sure.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or she has another queen come out and do it, or a drag king come out and do it with her.
Okay.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between is Miss
Carabiner.
So we're in the car and we arrive to the pull off for Grand Avenue. Now, this is like very close to the entrance.
Right.
But what is Grand Avenue?
Well, first of all, it's named for a New York City street. It's like the idea behind it is that the formations of the rocks on either side of this very wide open kind of valley
and it's
resemble
I mean, we might call
buildings.
It grand.
Right. This very grand valley resemble like buildings that you would see on like Madison Avenue or something like that in New York City. So that was the inspiration. There aren't arches here. It's more about the formations of the rocks themselves and them representing kind of buildings.
And they were really fascinating.
They were. Like,
and you can actually access Grand Avenue from two places.
Right.
And we were on one that was closer to the entrance.
Right.
But you could drive around and go to the other side. And there were people who were at the other side.
Well, we walked all the way down.
We did.
Yeah.
And we walked all the way down and then all the way back.
Yeah. So, and it's very, it's a super wide section. Not all of it is accessible as trail, but like whatever was very, very wide. And I do remember like you have to kind of like wind your way down. Like,
you do.
You
there
start
are
up at the
stairs,
top of the road.
Essentially, like when you go down at the beginning, like there are stairs that you were descending.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like it wasn't the clearest marked like area. Like there were definitely moments where I was like, wait, which way do I head? This way or that way? And like we figured it out. But I remember, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to be steep.
Right. And then there
when
were some
we go back.
Yeah. There were some larger, like kind of like longer ramps that you were traveling down. You were kind of coming down those too. There were a lot of people that were around us. So I remember listening to like some conversations. I feel like we talked to like some girls that were maybe from New Jersey, right?
They were. And I feel like we were, okay, this is crazy, but I do feel like we were talking about like assigned reading, like books that they were assigned to read.
Right. They were like college students.
They were. And we were like, oh, those are really good. You'll really enjoy them.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they were right now, but like they were like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, we're supposed to be doing all this work, but instead we're here.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, it was
good,
Easter weekend. It was Easter, spring break times. Yeah. Spring break times. And then we like, as we hiked further down, we were definitely with like a mom and a dad and they're like three or four kids, some of whom were just not having it. Like they were fully done.
They were fully done.
Yeah.
I understand where they were coming from.
Oh, yeah.
As part of that walk, we were talking about like teachers we had crushes on in high school.
I think just also teachers in general that were like impactful on our lives.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily the ones that like gave us a sexual awakening.
Though that did happen.
Although those were impactful too.
Those were impactful too.
Right.
They had a moment in our lives.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were talking about a lot of that. We covered a lot of ground in that.
We
walk.
Did cover a lot of ground, as we always do.
As we always do.
Yeah.
We walked to the other end of Grand Avenue.
Yeah.
And I remember like we walked all the way to the road.
Yeah.
Because we were like, no, we're going to walk all the way. We're going to make sure we go all the way there. And then we did. We walked all the way there and we turned around and we headed back.
Yeah. And the one thing I do remember is, again, as I said before, it was a beautiful sunny day. It was hot. There were kind of sheer walls to either side of us. There were some breaks in the walls so you could actually see through to the road. But we were in direct sun at this point because we were close to noon. And I just remember feeling like we were baking, like
totally
as we were walking.
Baking. Yeah. I definitely got a tan in that space at that time.
Yeah.
And then what I do remember is that when we had to walk up the stairs to get back to the parking lot, we were both like, we're so tired. And now we have to walk up these stairs. And it took us much longer than we wanted to.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that long. It would have taken us like 5 minutes, but I think it took us like 20 minutes because we were like, we're just going to take this real slow.
Yeah.
And we did. And we did get back to the parking lot. And then we got back in the car.
Yeah, we had kind of seen everything that we had intended to in Arches. I feel like we basically hit almost everything that we were able to.
Yeah, the only thing we didn't hit was like the section that you have to sort of off-road in to get to.
Yeah. But I mean, in the main accessible part of the park, that's not necessarily for those off-roading folk. Right. I feel like we kind of hit everything.
We did.
I think if you are able to, I think you can definitely do Arches like all in one day if you get there early enough.
Oh, yeah.
Like the main, like whatever we saw, like the only reason it took us 2 days to really do it is because we didn't get there until like noon, one on the first day.
Absolutely.
And I think we were kind of close to done around one, two when we were leaving. Mm-hmm. So like it's totally an accessible park for you to be able to get done in a day.
100%.
But it's also like there have been plenty of parks that we have gone to that have been accessible to do in a day. But I feel like this one was really fun in so many ways.
It was.
And it offered, the nice thing is I feel like there's accessibility. There was a way for you to see things if you can't hike. But for those of you that can hike, you also have that fun aspect of it, and which is not always the case for those parks. So I really do appreciate what Arches has to offer for so many reasons. And I think the idea that there's so much for you to be able to experience, no matter who you are as a person or as a hiker, there's something for everyone.
All right, Mike, let's put these hikes on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
So, the Devil's Playground, what is your rating for that?
Okay, so I don't remember it being as strenuous as a strenuous hike is, but I do remember there were some parts that were a little trickier, but overall, I had a lot of fun on it, so I'm going to give it a 5. Like, I feel like it's right
totally
in the middle.
I'm totally giving it a 5, too. Yeah. So it gets a total of 10.
Yeah.
10 out of 20 on the Karen Stone scale.
Yeah, it's a super great hike. If you are able to hike it, please do. It is a bunch of fun, and it's really your longest hike in the park.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it really is like the only hike in the park that is, you know, more than just like what you see from the road.
Or
you
like
know?
A short jaunt out to the arch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Delicate Arch.
Delicate Arch, I think, just because we were like a little bit more tired and had come to it like with not as a difficult expectation as like we thought maybe Devil's Playground was going to be. Like, I feel like this was like a little bit of a surprise for the both of us. I'm going to say 6 for that.
I was thinking that too. Yeah. So it
Look
gets
at us
a 12.
Brain sharing over here.
Yeah.
Being friends and brain sharing.
Exactly. So the Delicate Arch Trail gets a 12 out of 20.
Yeah.
On the Karen Stone scale. And what about the Grand Avenue?
It's not really technically a strenuous hike, but I do think like time of day is a big factor. I'm going to say like a 4. Like,
I would give it a 3.
Okay.
I would give it a 3 only because of those stairs that you have to go down and then back up.
Yeah.
So we're giving it a 7 out of 20 on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
So
Beautiful.
There we go. There are the trails on this Karen Stone scale of Arches National Park. It is time for Jeopardy.
So, Dusty, since I went first last time, can you go first this time?
Absolutely.
Great.
Are you ready?
I am. My body is ready.
Okay. So,
Tired
my Jeopardy category this time is called Arches in Government.
Oh, great.
In this category, you will need to name the term that includes the word arch in it.
Great.
And it is from, you know, modern times all the way back to ancient times.
Great. I love it.
So are you ready for Arches in Government for 100?
I am.
From feudalism, this classification is for a group or class of people from medieval times who were knights in training.
I'm having a hard time here.
The answer we were looking for was squirearchy.
Oh, squirearchy.
Yeah, that's right. Knights in training.
That squires. Is like, that is a term I've never heard before.
I know. Now, I
that
will tell
like
you.
That is like hierarchy and squire combined.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Okay. All of these clues are going to be for words that you have never used before.
Great.
So you're going to have to figure out what the term is.
Super. Okay. I love it.
Are we ready for arches in government?
Sure.
For 200.
Monarch also has the term arch in it.
It does.
Yeah.
Monarch.
E.
Patriarch. Matriarch. Yeah. Yeah. I will say none of those are answers right here.
Crossing them off the list.
This is the name for a government ruled by five people.
What is an oligarchy?
Incorrect. What is the pentarchy?
Oh, okay.
Like pent?
Yeah.
Five?
Can you give me an example of a government ruled by five people?
No, I can't.
Great.
Thanks. Great. Moving
thanks
on.
Thanks for your false BS clues over here.
Like arches and government for here. 300. This is a term for a government ruled by seven people.
What is a septarchy?
Close. What is a heptarchy?
Great.
Great. Well, because like a heptagon is mm-hmm. seven sides and a hexagon is six sides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Arches in government for 400. Like a dictatorship, this is a term for a government with one ruler with sole power.
And it's not monarchy.
It is not monarchy.
I don't know.
What is autarky?
Is that like what people from Boston say about their Thanksgiving dinner? Where's our turkey?
It's similar to like...
Our turkey.
Autocracy.
Autocracy.
But it's not. It like
great.
Technically
I'm learning so much today.
Listen, I am too. Here we go. Okay.
Dusty's writing these arches. As he's giving me the clues. And he's making everything up.
Arches in government. Arches in government for 500. Similar to the term matriarchy, this term is for a government ruled entirely by women.
What is matriarchy?
That was not what we were looking for. We were looking for gynarchy.
Yeah, gynarchy.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Like gynecologist.
Yeah, gynarchy. I got it.
And that is
great. Zero
in government.
Zero. Goose egg over here.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Oh, now you know how it feels.
Whatever.
Now you know how it feels whatever. To be frustrated.
Whatever.
10 lords leaping.
All right. So my category is called architecture.
Ooh.
So I know I could have just said architecture because obviously the word arch is in architecture. But this
correct.
Is all category about famous arches or the history of arches in architecture.
Great.
Most of these clues have a two part answer. So listen carefully.
I'm ready.
Great. These arches don't really refer to architecture at all, but rather the logo of a famous fast food brand that originated in San Bernardino, California. Name the logo's nickname and the company.
What is the Golden Arches of McDonald's?
That's correct.
Awesome.
There we go. Architecture for 200. This arch, found in the City of Lights, is one of the most famous of its type and commemorates the victory at Austerlitz by an emperor of the people who was eventually exiled to the island of Elba and later St. Helena. Name the arch and the emperor.
Are we talking about Paris?
Paris is the city, but I'm
Paris
looking for
is
the arch.
City. Yeah. What is the Arc de Triomphe?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember the emperor.
And who is Napoleon?
There we go.
Great. Architecture for 300. Standing at 630 feet, this monument-style arch, which resembles a parabola, commemorates westward expansion across the North American continent, which was achievable by these explorers. Name the arch and the explorers.
Okay, it is the arch in St. Louis, correct?
Yeah, do you have the name for it?
I don't know the name.
Okay.
What is the name?
The Gateway Arch.
Oh, the Gateway Arch, mm-hmm. And it's Lewis and Clark.
That's correct. Architecture for 400. Arches appear all throughout the bridges of this early European system of carrying fresh water to highly populated areas, which was developed by this empire. Name the structure and the empire.
What are the bridges of Madison County?
And who is Clint Eastwood?
And who is Meryl Streep?
No.
What is the answer?
What are aqueducts and who are the Roman Empire?
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah,
as I slurred that. And architecture for 500. Involving two vertical beams with a horizontal beam placed atop them, it is a building style common in early forms of architecture like this stone circle near Bath, England. Name the architectural style and the stone circle. If you need a hint, think of this Washington, D.C. newspaper with small protein-packed legumes atop it.
What is post and column?
No.
What is that?
Do you know the structure I'm talking about?
Stonehenge.
That's correct. It's post and lintel.
Oh.
So a lintel.
Oh, a lintel.
Post and lintel.
Didn't know that.
Well, there you go. It's our basic doorway form.
Oh, so a post and lintel.
Post and lintel. Yeah.
Well, things I've learned.
Guyarchy over here.
Guynarchy.
Guynarchy.
There we go.
Malarkey.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. You can also email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. We always appreciate it.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in Arches National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Ute Indian tribe. Longer ramps that you were traveling down that were kind of like plateau-y, and then you were kind of coming down those... Cumbling. I thought it was sexagon. Ha 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 ha.